And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
That's the name. Don't wear it out. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at HubCityRadio.com. And, of course, on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page there as well with the live streaming video here in just a few short moments and catch our ugly mugs live in studio. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. We'll get to the jump here in just a few short moments. Busy show for you here today, per usual. We're talking some high school hoops as Michael Duncey is the head coach of the Bearcats of Webster. He'll be joining us here in the next 10 to 15 minutes. Looking forward to that conversation with him. And fresh off of a perfect 2-0 road trip down south to Mason City, Iowa, head coach Scott Langer is going to sit down with the voice of your Aberdeen Wings, Jay Kleinkonnect, for an Aberdeen Wings Wings Weekly. That's coming up towards the back half of the show as well. So that's what's on tap for the day here today, as we've got ourselves a lot to get to from the high school perspective, as we'll talk about the high school polls. Those are officially out. And I was putting this together last night, and I did a little highlighting just to kind of give myself a little mental slap, a little mental reminder, I guess, more accurately, of teams that won the state championship last year. And more often than not, when these polls come out for the first installment of the year, you look at who won the state championship last year, and you say, yeah, they're probably going to win it again this year, or at least they're at the top of the charts, as it were. Not necessarily they're going to win it all the next year, but certainly a team that's going to garner a lot of expectation. And if you look at that from the girls and boys perspective all across the board, you pretty much have a lot of similar names up there as it pertains to the high school basketball poll that's officially out. You can check out our website, hubcityradio.com. A lot of similarities up top, but there is one class in the state of South Dakota that is not the case. The team that won it all last year is not even in the top five. They are receiving votes, but I thought that was kind of curious. We'll talk about that as the day continues to progress and this episode of the Sports Hub continues to progress as well. But first and foremost, we turn things over to our compatriot. He is Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Things are doing very, very well over here. Got a little snow in the mix. Kind of feels like Christmas, and Christmas time comes in what, 15 days? Are you a last minute Christmas shopper?
Oh yeah, 100%.
100%.
Yeah, big last minute Christmas shopper here.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, the official poll just came out here a few short moments ago. Actually, take that back. Came out late last night. And we'll talk about some regional things within the jump here in just a second, but I want to toss this your way. The poll came out yesterday. Any guesses in which class things are a little bit different as it pertains to who won the whole thing last year and that team that's not getting as much love as you would think they would be? Any guess?
I got a good guess about it.
Yeah.
Class B.
Class B. Yeah, I thought that was kind of curious. Well, we'll go ahead and talk about this right here and right now as the preseason poll came out yesterday. Class B, on the boys' side of things, Castlewood receives 8 first-place votes, followed by Viborg-Hurley. They got 5. Gregory, 3. Del Rapids-St. Mary, 4. Wessington Springs, 5. But the team that won the whole thing last year, Howard, is in the receiving votes category. I thought that was just a little curious.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Now, I know they lose Nick Capsel. Obviously, he graduated. He was a senior. But you do bring back Luke. You still got a lot of the guys intact that won the state championship a season ago. They won it in football. A lot of those guys are crossover athletes on the basketball court. I saw that, too. I was shocked to not see them at least in the top five. You know, there's a lot of different things that play into that. I'm a prisoner of the moment guy. I remember when the football polls came out, I'm like, Dubrook, how the heck are they not in the top five? They went to the state championship last year, and they didn't have the best year this year. So I think Howard is returning a lot of what they had back. You are receiving votes, but it is a little bit curious to see them not in the top five there.
And not only that, where's White River?
Yeah.
No love for White River? I mean, there are certain things in life that are no doubt you can take them to the bank. Death, taxes, and Eldon Marshall is going to be here in about 4.5 months. No love for White River? What gives?
How about the Smet, too?
Yeah, they were in the receiving votes category. They did pick up one first-place vote, which I thought was propped, which was proper, I think. But, yeah, Class B just looks to be a whole mishmash of teams. And you know, this is kind of par for the course, I guess. It's the first one of the season. You get a lot of stuff. It's like throwing spaghetti against a wall. You get a lot of teams out there. But just a couple of things that could say Class B could be very, very interesting this year.
I'm with you on White River. They've been to the state tournament here the last, what is it, 65 years in a row.
Yeah.
So
I think it's 72, actually.
Okay. So yeah. I think not having them in the top five, to me, doesn't make much sense.
Or at least the receiving votes category. No love.
It's crazy.
And it's kind of curious. Definitely kind of curious for sure. All right. He is Matt McClure. We, of course, call him
Mr. Unlimited.
Let's get to the jump here on the program. Head coach Michael Duncey of Webster. He'll be joining us here in less than 10 minutes. Looking forward to that discussion with him as the Bearcats, they get revved up for their lid lifter here in the not too distant future. So we're going to start up on the local side of things here. As one regional squad is playing for a natty tonight. That's right, we've got a regional squad playing for a national championship tonight. That, of course, would be the Bellevue University Bruins. And I say regional because they're just down south there in Bellevue, which is just basically a suburb of Omaha. Yesterday, they defeated Corbin University in straight sets, 20, 26, and 24. E. Fountain with 10 kills and 12 digs there, but Bellevue in the final year of the NSAA, of course, their North Star team, they defeated Concordia over the weekend, a GPAC squad, so lots of really good volleyball within our region. They will be partaking for a national championship tonight. They'll be taking on Indiana Wesleyan, that'll be down south in Sioux City, so I'm looking forward to that matchup. I mean, I called games for Presentation College against Bellevue in volleyball over the last handful of years, and you know what? Now that I think about it, I think, and don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure, I'm like 94.2% sure, that the final game that Presentation College Volleyball ever played was against Bellevue. If memory serves correctly, they lost in the conference tournament against them in 2022. I could be wrong on that one, double check, but check my math at home for those of you listening, but I'm looking forward to that matchup. Bellevue going for a national championship tonight.
Yeah, so it sounds like you got a little rooting interest there.
Yeah.
Definitely rooting for Bellevue there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's funny because when PC was playing Bellevue a handful of years ago in hoops, I was down there, and sometimes in between games or at halftime you get anything, basically anything goes. It's just a free-for-all on the floor. And at halftime, you had some of the volleyball girls just shooting around down in Bellevue. And Eve Fountain was one of them. And I said, Eve, come on over here. And I said, are you sure you don't want to transfer out of Bellevue? Real, really good. You're really, really good. I said, you're a heck of a player, and keep it up. But looking forward to that tonight, and should be a lot of fun between those two teams there. So speaking of a lot of fun, I love a good crowd. I love a good court storm. I'm a good guy as it pertains to, or a big guy in terms of court storming. I like them. Now, there's a right and wrong way to do it. You know, you don't want to hit anybody on the other team or even on your team. Don't want anybody to get hurt. I'm all for that. All for safety. But are you familiar with Taylor University and their Silent Night?
Yes, I am familiar with that.
Yeah, so we had that this last weekend, as a matter of fact. And the deal is this. Taylor University, the first time they get to 10 points, or as soon as they hit 10 points in the game, their entire crowd rushes the floor, and it's Silent Night. So let's just say they hit a three to open up the game. No cheering. Dead silence. Absolute dead silence. And four possessions in 1 minute and 28 seconds is all it took for Taylor University to hit 10 points. When they hit 10 points, ironically enough, it was on a dunk. Kind of a cool thing. Their entire crowd rushes the floor. It's the 27th annual Taylor University Silent Night. That got the job done against Moody Bible there this last weekend. They won the game. But I think that's such a cool thing. You hear these kind of fun stories with NAIA basketball. Silent Night there at Taylor University.
I was wondering how long they did it, 27 years. And what popped in my head right there, can you imagine, like, in a high school game they did that and the team was struggling to get to 10 points. And it's like third quarter and you're at like 7 points and, you know, you're down a lot and then you do it. I don't know why that just popped into my head.
Timberlake versus Groton from this last Friday.
Yeah. Can you imagine something like that?
Groton holds them to 11 points is all in that game. It's like, are we going to do this thing or what?
Why is no one cheering? We finally made a basket.
Yeah, my goodness. We got shut out 9-0 in the first quarter. No love. It's 23-3 at halftime. So kind of a cool deal there. And William Penn, they also have the toilet paper toss.
I don't think I've seen that one.
That's a fun one as well. And we'll talk about that off the air, I'm sure. But kind of a cool deal. They take the technical foul. And it's all said and done. It's just kind of
Take the technical.
Yeah. Yeah, they take the technical foul. It's just, it's one of those things. So kind of interesting there. And finally, before we bring in head coach Duncey, two more very, very quick, like they kind of go hand in hand. I'm seeing a lot of players regionally, SDSU, USD, NDSU, they're entering the transfer portal, okay? You're seeing these guys as the transfer portal is officially opened up. And it's weird. These teams are still in the playoffs. Now, granted, I don't think these are guys that are getting a whole lot of run. They're probably not playing a lot. But still, you're in the playoffs. Games are still going on, and the transfer portal is open. It just feels very strange to me.
Yeah, you're in the middle of the season. You're in the middle of a championship push, and you're thinking more about the transfer portal. Now, to your point, like you said, these are probably guys that aren't playing a lot. But when you first said that, I'm like, are you talking about basketball? I think we're in the middle of basketball season here.
No, football.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense. Yeah. You're in the middle of a championship run. Don't you want to support your teammates, even if you're not playing?
And God forbid, let's say somebody goes down with a rolled ankle, a blown out knee. Hey, it's my time to play. Oh, where's Kevin? Oh, that's right. He's in the portal. What? What do you mean? We need you. You never know. Are you part of the team or not?
And that's today's college athletics right there. That's shocking.
In a nutshell, that's very, very strange to me. But, you know, it's just that's the way it is. And I had to chuckle at this one. A guy named Chris Fisher on X says, quote, "I'm sorry, but it's not God's plan for you to enter the transfer portal every other year." Close quote. I mean, maybe it is God's plan. Maybe it's not. I'm not God. I'm not all-knowing. I'm not omnipotent, but pretty crazy.
Now, like we say, you get the notes on the
iPhone.
On the iPhone, and then God's plan.
Yeah.
Those are the two.
Don't forget to respect my decision.
Yes. And thank you to all of my coaches for helping me along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the top five, I guess, big things when it comes to transfer portal posts.
Tis the season, man. Tis the season. Tis the transfer portal season. You got to love it.
But those teams are literally playing for meaningful football games right now.
Yeah.
Doesn't make much sense.
That's the way it goes. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some high school girls basketball. Michael Duncey, head coach of the Bearcats of Webster, joins us next. Rocking and rolling on this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Streaming with the Facebook there as well, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. And you can hear our lovely radio voices. We should do this like a jazz talk radio show with like smoke in the room or something like that.
I'd be in for that.
It's the Sports Hub. No. But anyways, we're talking high school girls hoops as Michael Duncey, he joins us here on the phone line. Coach, good to have you on the program here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
You got it. Our pleasure, for sure. And talking some Webster area hoops, and can you believe it? Basketball season is calling our name. Has it been a long, long off season, or has it just been kind of, you've been waiting in the wings for this week?
Well, obviously been waiting for it. We did put a lot of time in over the summer, so we kind of rolled right into the basketball season pretty quickly after volleyball was finished. So the girls seemed to fall right back in track to where they were at the end of last season, which was very pleasant to see that. But returning six seniors definitely helps. So,
yeah, Coach, and you know, I was just going to talk about that. You return a little bit more experience. I thought you battled a lot last year. You had a couple close matchups there. You played some really good competition. You guys, it looks like here, were 7-14 a year ago. I mean, a little bit of success, and now you get that experience coming into this year. How much do you think that could help you out here to start the season?
Tremendously. You know, coming in last year, being my first year as the head coach there, there was a lot of learning curve, a whole new offense. It seemed like our first five games that we played, of them first five, four of them probably should have been victories for us. But with hiccups in the offense, hiccups in press break, that kind of thing, we probably should have been a little better than that 7-14 record. But like I said, you start putting a learning curve and it gets a little tough. But having these seniors back, and we only lost one last year. So the experience that they bring back, running in the same offense again, and obviously more well-seasoned with press break, I kind of see that we should be coming in, you know, hit the ground running a lot faster than we did last year.
Yeah, looking forward to that, and looking forward to the matchup here tonight. We'll talk about that here in just a second as Michael Dunsey joins us here on FSA. Like you mentioned, it's year two now for you. A little more comfortability. I would guess that you feel a little bit more, I don't know if relaxed is the right word, but just a little bit more of a great comfort level there, I would imagine.
For sure, yeah, definitely. Not only that, you know, when you come into a program and number one, you've got to learn how your athletes react. You got to learn their personalities, you know, and it comes down to, it seems like coaching anymore is 30, maybe 40% of the game, working with the athletes and understanding them emotionally, definitely becomes a higher percentage than the actual coaching, it seems like.
And coach, you mentioned you brought in a new offensive system last year. Was that challenging, you know, considering the fact that, hey, these girls maybe did something different prior, you come in, new offensive system. Did it take you a little bit to get rolling when you talked about your offense a little bit there last year?
Yeah, it sure did. And the offense that they ran previous to last year was a lot of four out, one in, maybe even five out. But when we're sitting with six, three six-footers and a couple of them at 5'10", you got to kind of change your game dynamic a little bit. You got to start looking at more of an inside game with that height advantage. And so coming in last year, that was one of the things that I made a transition of. It's like we need to go with a three out, two in, get more of a post game going. And not only was it a transition for the total offense, but the guards, they had to be used to looking at that post and getting the entry pass into them, and get in the position to get that entry pass in. So it did. It was a pretty big learning curve. We played a lot of team camp this summer. They capitalized on it several times. And, you know, like I say, this year we should see a pretty good inside ball game.
And that was my thing. I mean, I was a pretty tall – I mean, I'm a tall guy now, but when I played – certainly wasn't good enough to play at the high school level because I wanted to shoot threes the entire time. Or even in like seventh, eighth grade, I was like, "Hey, Tukes is really, really tall. Get down in the low blocks." Like, forget that noise. I just want to shoot threes the whole time. I was ahead of the curve. I didn't make any of them, but that's neither here nor there. But yep. You know, I think that's interesting is because we are living in a sort of new era of basketball. If you watch an NBA game, I mean, you got the Celtics shooting 50 some odd threes a game. I think there was one game they shot 70 or something like that, which is absolutely bananas. Is it difficult to get players, especially high school players, to buy in to say, "Hey, okay, that's great, but you know, we still got to pound it in the paint from time to time"?
Yeah, initially, yeah, it was kind of an uphill battle. The upside is that because they had been playing that outside game so much, I've got some 6-footers that I'm not scared to put out the perimeter and have them put a three up. So if there's some kind of a mismatch to where they have a taller post player on them, I'm not afraid to send them out and put a three up. So because of what they had previously with playing four out and five out, they're not afraid to shoot the ball, and they're actually pretty good at it.
Talked about six seniors coming back here, Coach. One that had a good year last year, if I'm not mistaken, coming back this year is your senior forward, Aaron Sanis. What she kind of meant to the program here, I know this is only year two coaching her, but, you know, she's going to be a great player for you guys this year.
Definitely. You know, she's a strong left-hander, which, you know, to find a 6-foot post player that's left-handed is kind of a diamond in the rough. And that way, when I bring two post players in there, I'm comfortable with both sides of the block as far as moves happening. You know, she has got basketball knowledge that just goes on. And it's just now, you know, she just needs to get more aggressive in there. And with her height, she just needs to start getting some more offensive boards. Because honestly, that's where she's going to get the bulk of her points.
And we're talking with Michael Dunsey, head coach of the Bearcats girls basketball squad. Yeah, offensive rebounding, defensive rebounding, you know, we can talk about analytics this, analytics that, and if you do this, you got to. It's like at the end of the day, you still have to rebound the basketball. Still have to put that orange sphere in that cylinder thing. And a team that does that more often than not wins games. But interesting is I'm looking up and down your roster as Matt's talking about your senior class. I don't know if this is a typo or if it's just kind of the way it's all worked out, but I see a C next to all of your seniors. Is that something that's kind of unique to you guys? Because I take that as you've got all captains that are all seniors, and you know, some teams have like one or two captains. You guys got six of them. Is that kind of unique, or is that just the way it all worked out? Is that a typo?
It's very unique, actually. No, it's not a typo. And this is a dilemma that a head coach runs into when you're looking at six seniors, and not only six seniors that play basketball, but six seniors that are pretty much plug and play interchangeable. You know, I've got another 6 foot senior, Abby Vanderlinden, and I can move her and Aaron Sanis back and forth. You know, so I'm not losing anything on height. And then I started, you know, looking at my guards. They're all three ball handlers. I'm not afraid to have one of them bring the ball up the floor. And so it's hard to choose a captain when they're, you know, pretty equal when it comes to ball play.
Yeah, and, you know, to your point, would you say some are more vocal than others? You know, people, you know, or teammates, they lead by example with their play. There's people that are more vocal than others. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that, what you look for in a leader?
Yeah, you know, there's two on the team that are starting to emerge as pretty good leaders. One of them is Harley Johnson. She's my number three guard, or position number three. She has got basketball knowledge, the same as Aaron Sanis. And the nice thing is, they're both very good on the floor as far as coaching their position to not only their you know, fellow seniors, but the underclassmen as well. So they take a lot of pride in the position that they play, and they're not afraid to pull someone off to the side and say, look, you know, you got to do this a little better, or you got to, you know, look at this position here or move this direction for post move. So those two have been very, you know, pivotal on making the new offense work.
Maybe one or two more here with the head coach of the Bearcats, Michael Dunsey, here on FSA. Opening night tonight, you've got Wabe Summit. Girls with some nerves, maybe, maybe not. How are you kind of feeling going into this matchup? I mean, it's opening night. It's kind of like Christmas morning. I mean, I don't know how it is over there in Webster, but we got a little bit of snow here in the mix, here in the Hub City.
Yep.
Kind of feels like Christmas, doesn't it?
For sure. Yeah. You know, and this is one thing I've learned about being a head coach of girls basketball. You know, when you get on the floor, it's like opening the present. You hope it's a good surprise for you. So, yeah, I'm nervous coming into the game, mainly because we've been putting a lot of hard work in the last 2 weeks getting ready for our first game. And to put them on the floor against the competition, it's usually a tell-all of how things have come together the first 2 weeks that you've put in. And Wabe Summit, historically been a scrappy team. They got some quick guards, and they've got some good shooters.
Coach, I want to ask, you know, it was your first year coaching last year. I've been covering games a couple times there in Webster. I think the Armory is a great spot to watch a game. Your first experience last year being a head coach at the Webster Armory, what's that experience like? It's one of my favorite places in the state for high school basketball.
Oh, breathtaking is probably the best way to put it. You know, I've watched all three of my boys play basketball on that floor. Many, you know, hundreds of games I've watched. I've coached all the way from, you know, third, fourth grade, all the way up to, you know, assistant varsity until taking the head spot. And to take the floor with your team that you put so much effort and time into, and you know that they put their effort and time into it, to take the floor, it's you know, lack of a better term, it's like preparing for battle, and you stand there proud watching your team play.
I think of popcorn. Maybe that's just me. I don't know, man. Every time I go into the Armory, that smell of popcorn hits me right in the face. And maybe that's just a South Dakota high school gym kind of thing.
Oh, it definitely is.
But especially in Webster, and the carpets on the ceiling is very unique.
Yes.
Very unique. No doubt about that. All right, Coach. Wishing you nothing but the best of luck here tonight against Wabe Summit. I'm sure we'll talk with you later on down the road here this season. Good luck this year, and good luck tonight.
All right. I thank you guys, and hopefully we can get a W tonight.
All right. Looking forward to the matchup. That's, once again, head coach Michael Dunsey here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Fun visit with him. And, yeah, that was the first thing that I noticed. Well, twofold, was the smell of the popcorn and the carpets on the ceiling. Did you ever notice that?
I never noticed the carpets on the ceiling. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I was up there at the top, kind of looking around, and I look up and I was like, huh, I got some carpets up there. That's unique.
Don't you feel like it's a little dark in there, too?
It, when I was in there, it was. It's been a while since I've been in the Armory. Maybe
sure.
They've lightened it up a little bit, but that's a really cool place.
Yeah, I love it. I did a couple games there, and it's just a unique spot to watch a high school basketball game. You're up in the bleachers, they got that old table that's set up for you. Perfect size table. Not, you know, throwing shade on the table at all. It works perfect. But, yeah, I like that spot a lot. And it's just unique. A lot of history there. And I'm looking forward to seeing this Webster team this year. You know, it seemed like they took a step forward under head coach Dunsey in his first year. I think he's more confident coming in. You got a new offensive system you implemented last year. I think they're going to come out on the ground running here. They got a favorable schedule to start. I like their first couple matchups to kind of ease into things, and we'll see what happens there tonight.
Yeah, looking forward to it, no question about it. And our thanks to Coach Dunsey for taking some time out of his busy schedule to join us here on game night on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll take a look at the schedule of games here tonight within the region and talk about those polls, which, of course, came out there yesterday. And then we'll have an Aberdeen Wings Weekly coming up towards the back half of the show. Our thanks to head coach Michael Dunsey for taking time out of his schedule here and joining us on the show. It is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Happy game day. Not officially a full slate of games here today, but a busy Tuesday, to be sure, for high school girls basketball. Taking a look at what's on tap tonight, Mobridge Pollock is going to be visiting Dupree. Sully Buttes brings in Ipswich, while Woolsey Wessington brings in Wessington Springs. Those two teams have a co-op, and I'm thinking, like, well, because wrestling, it's Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central. I'm like, what's the deal there? It is Woolsey Wessington hosting Wessington Springs. Coleman Egan hosts Esteline Hendricks. Sisseton is on the road at Great Plains Lutheran's place. Florence Henry brings in Duel, and Waverly South Shore will host Wilmot tonight as well, in addition to that Webster matchup. Looking forward to that. All right, the South Dakota Prep Media Poll is officially out, and a whole lot of familiar names up top. We'll start up on the AA side of things in boys action. Mitchell, a unanimous number one selection, 13 first-place votes, followed by Washington, Lincoln, Huron, and O'Gorman. All of those teams are in the top five. Harrisburg is receiving one first-place vote, but they are receiving votes. No love for Aberdeen Central to start there.
Yeah, and a team that I'm really looking at here in AA that I think is going to be really, really good is this Huron team. They bring back a lot of talent from last year, Tukes. Blake Elwine, that's a guy that you're going to hear a lot of for Huron. Sitting there at four, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they make a jump here this year. It's a young team. They're tall, lengthy, and that Elwine, he's like 6'8", 6'10", or 6'8", 6'9", and he could pull up from the parking lot. So that's a team that I think is going to be pretty good in AA this year.
I've been seeing a lot about Blake Elwine on social media. I don't believe, and don't quote me on this one, but I don't believe that he is committed anywhere. But I've been seeing he's got a lot of offers from places all over the place, including some NSIC squads and maybe even some D1 squads there too. So going to be a war to get that guy to sign somewhere. So I'll be very curious. But yeah, 6'9". Yeah, those people are
ball handler. It's like he's a freak out there. It's unbelievable.
Keep an eye out for him and that Huron squad there. For Aberdeen Central, what do they kind of look like this year, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, it's going to be a lot of the same from last year, considering, but you do lose Parker Lamar. You do lose Grant Fritz. Those guys were kind of the glue guys on the team. Jet Carlson also graduated, but they do bring back, I think, Brendan Phillips. You know, he's going to be a senior this year. He had that game winner. He was a microwave off the bench. I think you're going to need to have a big year from a guy like Cam Olson, who came off the bench as well. Kind of a big guy. He was the backup for Grant Fritz, gave you solid minutes. He's going to have to play a role in this thing. And, you know, Colby Dowen last year towards the end of the year was a guy that Coach Brett Norberg really liked. And we saw what he did in football. Mm-hmm. He took a major step in football, was the leading receiver there for the Golden Eagles. He was great on the basketball court. He's going to have to play a big role in this thing. But I think they got some scoring coming back from last year's team, and I think that's where they struggled at times. And I hope that they can score a little bit more than they did last year.
All right, looking forward to their season opener. They've got a couple of Rapid City squads coming into the Hub City on Friday and Saturday. Of course, all games on Sunny 97.7 for the voice of the Golden Eagles, Matt McClure, on the call there. Hamlin, they won it all last year in Class A. They are the number two spot right now as Sioux Falls Christian picks up 8 first-place votes to Hamlin 6. Dakota Valley, Rapid City Christian, and Pine Ridge round out the top 5 there. In Class B, this is where it's basically spaghetti on the wall. You've got Castlewood receiving 8 first-place votes, followed by Viborg Hurley that picked up 5 first-place votes, Gregory 3, Del Rapids St. Mary 4, Wessington Springs 5. Other squads that are receiving votes is Howard, DeSmet, Aberdeen Christian, and Leola Frederick. Class B is going to be a lot of fun this year once again.
Yeah, like you said, it's going to be kind of a free-for-all, I feel like, in Class B. We say this every year with them. I think last year it was very competitive. You just look at the state tournament. There was games that went down to the wire that maybe you didn't expect coming in. I mean, how about the run Leola Frederick was on? They lost all the games, but every game was within 10 points. They put up a ton of points. So I think you're going to see, you know, Howard there at the end. You know, I think DeSmet coming off that loss in the state title game, they're going to have something to prove. They think about that. You got to believe how close they were to making it a four-peat. I think it's going to be wide open this year in Class B.
And it feels like a Saturday Night Live's bit there with DeSmet. We're talking a minimum 8-peat, Bob. I mean, that's what DeSmet was on target for before Howard just basically clipped them last season. But, yeah, you win 3 of the last 4 state tournament championships. And, oh, by the way, you lose in overtime in the state championship. They're going to be a little bit humming for that crown again this year.
Yeah, I think so. I really do. And, you know, they remember how it ended. Like, the way they lost was just heartbreaking. It's not like, 12-point game, Howard, you know, they were the better team. And, you know, Howard was the better team that day. But they remember how they lost that one.
Yeah, it was a really fun tournament, no question. Hey, is it too early to start talking about moving the B out of Aberdeen? We do that? Oh, no, we got to do that in like 3 months. We got to do that on social media. Oh, you know, what we need to do this, we got to move this thing to Sioux Falls instead. Well, see, I guess I'm out of place there. I'm 3 months ahead of a curve. All right, Class AA on the girls' side of things, O'Gorman, number 1. Class A, Vermilion, number 1. Class B, Centerville, number 1. All 3 teams that won the state championships last year, number 1 selections. Check it all out on our website, HubCityRadio.com. We're back at it tomorrow with the Wolves midweek. Jay Klein Connect is coming up next with the Wings Weekly.
Well, folks, here we go with another edition of Wings Weekly. Jay Klein Connect here, and of course, head coach Scott Langer there. Coach, coming off our big weekend sweep in North Iowa. We'll break through the games a little bit. I got a couple of other interesting questions. Well, I thought interesting, but a 5-4 overtime win and a huge kill on a penalty there, a shorty. You had some big things happening late in the game. A lot of stuff just kind of wild and wacky in a lot of ways, but a very strong second, maybe not the best start, but overall you come away with the win, and that's the important part. What do you think overall of Friday?
Well, it was an interesting game, you know, with getting out to a 3-1 lead and then, you know, those guys being able to answer back, obviously, with some power play stuff. So You know, I think the odds were stacked against us, you know, in that third period. And we knew, you know, when those guys jumped the boards to kill those penalties, I told them we needed the shorty. And sure enough, Moxham finds a way to bury it. And that was a huge goal. I mean, that might be one of the biggest goals of our season, just with everything that was kind of going on. And, you know, we kind of lost a little focus there, you know, that allowed them to get back in the game. But they also had some pretty fortunate bounces. But we needed it. And, you know, one of our leaders stepped up and did it in a big way.
Yeah. You know, it was a nail biter for sure. Very entertaining. I was getting texts. My phone was blowing up while the game was going on, even afterwards, too. People were like, wow, that was something. I'm like, yeah, tell me about it. But a lot of physicality in that one. Unfortunately, there's, you know, some guys that ended up on the wrong end of that. But there was a lot of positives that certainly could be taken away and that move on to Saturday. And Saturday, it was funny because Saturday really, in a lot of ways, it felt like a mirror kind of image, the way things started, the way the second went, but then you guys closed out in a huge way on Saturday. It was funny because even the public address announcer who's next to me up there, and they were like, wow, this feels eerily similar. And I'm like, yeah. Let's not go to overtime tonight. Let's end this. And you guys found a way to do it. What was the difference? How did you close?
Second period. That was a huge difference. You know, we kind of played with them there in the first period. You know, they were fortunate enough to get that breakaway behind one of our D, and they were able to capitalize on that chance. And, you know, then we answer right back with a big play from Leo to Lilson, and obviously that kind of got us going. But when we came out of the locker room in the second period and we talked about tipping the ice and do the things we're capable of doing, boy, did we ever do that. That was the turning point in that hockey game. Yeah. You know, even though it was quite close for a while, but I mean, I don't know how many shots we had. They didn't have very many at all in that second period, and you know, that allowed us to really dictate the rest of the game.
Yeah, it was weird because, again, when I talked about similar images, both games, you know, you're out shooting them. Like, I think it was 22-7 on Friday, about three-quarters of the way through the second, and then it was like 24-7 or 24-8 on Saturday. They pushed back. They, you know, they gave a little pushback. But, again, like you just said, you know, your guys found a way to really close things off. And finish strong for the win. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about the physicality of the game. Now, I was watching an interview with Paul Bissonnette the other day, or actually yesterday, when we got home, and he was talking about the resurgence of. I use the term loosely, okay, but enforcers. And you know, in years past, and even just like in the last 3 or 4 years, you and I have talked about the idea that some of that's gone away a little bit. But he was saying that he's starting to see more in the NHL that, you know, it's starting to come back a little bit. Are you starting to see some of that and feel some of that in the NA too? Because, I mean, you look at like what Bogachev, you know, Bogey's a scorer, you know, like he's a guy that leads this team in a lot of ways. You don't necessarily expect him to start throwing hands, and he went after a guy to defend one of his teammates. Do you feel like that's starting to come back a little bit, and does it still have a role?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's fully back in junior hockey. You know, junior hockey is where they really tried to take it all out of the game. And mm-hmm. I think the game is pretty sacred. And there's reasons why the game was played the way it was, and having guys that were there to police some certain situations. And you see it every night in our division. Mm-hmm. There's liberties being taken with guys that are scorers, that are what you call a skilled guy.
Right.
You know, then it leaves it up to who, you know, to, because you don't want to lose those guys that are leading your team in points. So, mm-hmm. you know, there needs to be some, you know, a guy or two guys where there's repercussions for your actions. But I think like, when you look at the NHL, I think they're just a little tired of taking away the sacred heart of the part of the game. Yeah. And you are seeing the Rempies and those guys of the world being able to play in the National Hockey League because of the liberties that are taken with their skill guys and their you know, high dollar guys. So I just don't think you're ever going to fully take it out of the game of hockey. It's how the game is played. It's how it's coached. It's how things are policed. And, you know, like with our team, our guys are a pretty close-knit group. And, you know, Leo did that because there was a pretty good two-hand given to our guy away from the play.
Right on the shoulder blades.
It was a non-hockey play right near the boards where a guy could have got exceptionally hurt. And from a coach's side of things, do you want to lose Leo for over half the game? No. But was it the right thing? 100%. You know, there's no way teams can get away with that. And because you're not getting the backing of the three guys on the ice that are supposed to police that. Those things are being allowed to go and allowed to happen, which is forcing teams to have to do something about it. You can't just have your guy laying on the ice after a play like that. So, but I think it's slowly coming back. You're seeing in the NHL, you're seeing, you know, heavyweights fight heavyweights, and every team seems to be moving onto that theme of having one on their roster. Junior hockey is interesting. You know, they wanted to take all that out of the game, but all that allowed people to do is it allowed coaches to have players chase around skill players as an art of their coaching philosophy. And it also allowed guys that don't have the ability to be tough to run around and try to be tough, and then they can hide behind the rules of the game. So, I mean, do I want to see a bunch of fighting in hockey? No, absolutely not. But I don't want to see a two-hand to the face and nothing being done about it. I don't want to see that. I'm not saying that games should, you know, be like when I played, where there's, you know, five fights a night, and, you know, it was a badge of honor to be able to do that. But I think we need to have a little bit of it in the game, and we need to protect our guys that are doing big things.
It's a great answer, and frankly, that is exactly why I asked it. Because when I watched Biz talk about that, I thought, you know what? I think that's relevant after this weekend. And it's funny because during the broadcast when that happened, we're in the game obviously when it happened, but I mean during the broadcast when I'm talking, we see that happen and Bogachev goes after him, and I was saying, I'm like, you know, that's a bad trade. You don't want your leading scorer to be, you know, out of the game. But it is what it is. And I think I even said, but if I know Scott Langer, he's thinking that he did the right thing. So for you to say he did the right thing, I was like, okay, well, now I feel justified. But yeah, it's an interesting beast for sure. The game of hockey is always evolving. But sometimes, like you said, you just, you know, there's a lot of tradition there too. And it doesn't ever go away. And it's probably never going to, as you said. All right, well, right now, Bismarck sitting at the top of the division with 45 points, 26 games played. Austin in second with 39 points and 26 games played. Minot with 35 and 24. Aberdeen with 33 points and 24 games played. St. Cloud, 28 and 24. And then you have North Iowa, 21 and 24. And the Mallards of Minnesota, 18 and 26 games played. Watertown, 11 and 26. Watertown coming off of a big win for them, really, on Friday night against Bismarck. And I always have to mention the games played because it's obviously it's relevant, again, when it comes to the amount of points that can be accrued. But moving forward, you've got a team like St. Cloud that is coming back into the ODI Center, into the building here. And, you know, you've seen them before. You've seen them in their building. We know that they skate well. Fifth best power play in the league right now, and I believe 18th best for their penalty kill. You know, that's always a factor for sure. But, you know, what else have you seen, especially after having seen them at the MAC there in St. Cloud and so on? You know, what do you feel like you guys have to do against St. Cloud? And a two-part question, really. Is it different than what you had to do against North Iowa to come away with that sweep?
No, I think there's a lot of similarities as far as, you know, what we have to do to be successful. I mean, if anybody tunes into our games, they know exactly the identity of our hockey team and exactly how we play. I don't think changing the way we play is going to help us win hockey games. I think, you know, you take a team like St. Cloud, us and them are going back and forth in the standings. I think there's a lot on the line. We all know that. You know, we need to outplay them because we are at home. And we are playing well. We're coming off three in a row, and I think that should add some energy to our lineup. You know, we will have the addition of Nikolai Tishkevich back with our team.
What?
And yes, sir. And he'll be here today. And I think that energy level and that speed is going to also add to what we bring to the table.
I'll be darned. I did not know that. That's interesting. Yes, for sure. It adds a lot. Folks, breaking news right here. Are you hearing this? Tish coming back. The crowd's going to love that too. That's awesome. All right. Coach, again, after St. Cloud, right back down in North Iowa. So, you know, hopefully something crazy doesn't happen down there again. But it just seems like that's a trend going to Mason City. I don't know what that's all about. But anyway. Thank you for your time. I won't keep you any longer, but good luck against St. Cloud. I'll catch up with you on Friday again, and we'll regroup a little bit and kind of revamp how the week has gone at that point. But thanks for your time, and congratulations on a sweep down there, and good luck against the Norsemen.
Thanks, Jay.
And once again, that's your voice of the Aberdeen Wings, Jay Kleinkonect, for an Aberdeen Wings Weekly. We are back at it tomorrow with a Wolves midweek installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Don't forget, the Wings are back at home this weekend, and we've got the best price for Wings tickets here in town. Give us a call, 605-229-3632. That's 605-229-3632. Colin Cowherd is coming up at the top of the hour on Fox Sports Aberdeen.